All right, for our time in the Word, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians. We've been in 1 Corinthians, going through 1 Corinthians. We will be in chapter 4 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Met with a group of pastors. I meet regularly with a group of pastors each month, and it's always kind of, you know, where are you at, what are you preaching on, you know, those kind of things. And I was like, going through 1 Corinthians. And one of the other pastors who I knew had preached through 1 Corinthians and had finished up last year was like, oh wow. He's like, I could not wait till I was done with 1 Corinthians. Right? There's a lot here. And it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. And it hits home. It hits to the heart of a lot of issues, I think, that we struggle with, I struggle with, and it's good. We need it. I need it. And so that's really what the letter's about, is dealing with issues that crop up within the local body of believers, within churches. And so Paul's been addressing those. He started off addressing the issue of division. He certainly, at the very beginning, reaffirmed who they are in Christ, right? He didn't doubt their salvations, not doubting that at all. Not doubting, just reaffirmed, like, I know who you are in Christ, and all that you have, and that you are a child of God, right? Paul reaffirms that at the very beginning, but then begins dealing with some big, huge, like, really heavy stuff. One was deep division. There was a lot of division going on within that church, and so Paul deals with that, and misplaced loyalty. And they were placing their loyalty in men, and so Paul deals with that. Then there was also the issue that they were worried about what the world thought of them, right? That they had that issue, they were worried about that, they were worried how the world viewed them, and Paul deals with that. Begin chapter 3, he deals with this thought that they are carnal, they're worldly, they're immature. And we've seen how Paul has dealt with that, and his call to them to be faithful, to imitate him. And so we've seen how Paul has dealt with that issue within that church. The fourth issue that we deal with, and I'll be honest, this is a difficult one. This is a hard one. This is one of those that's really hard to see in our own hearts. It's one of those things that we don't like to be accused of. It's one of those things that's really easy to see in other people. And that is spiritual arrogance. Spiritual pride, spiritual arrogance. And so Paul's going to hit that head on, and we're going to deal with it in chapter 4. I tried to make this one sermon. I really tried, but there's too much here. There's too much here. So we got two parts. But I enjoy how Paul deals with it. So he's not overly critical with them, but still trying to deal with that thought of they certainly had an issue with some arrogance, some spiritual arrogance in the way they were approaching things. And so Paul deals with that. And he calls them to humility. He calls them to faithfulness. He calls them to imitate him. He does. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, here we see arrogance is critical of faithfulness. Arrogance is critical of faithfulness. Verse 1 says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not judged by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." And so Paul had, in chapter 3, we saw Paul doing this, encouraging them to be faithful. Faithful in their relationship with Christ, first and foremost. Faithful in their relationships with each other. Faithful as being lights in the world and as they walk circumspectly, certainly within this world, right? Encouraging that faithfulness. And he used himself and he used Apollos as illustrations. He certainly acknowledged that his ministry was different than Apollos' ministry. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered." Paul acknowledged, right, "I'm the one that laid the foundation and others have built on that foundation." And so others have built on that. And then he talks about this judgment of faithfulness or evaluation. That might be a better word. Right? Evaluation of our faithfulness. It will be one day we will stand before Christ and we will be evaluated, I believe, on the merits of our faithfulness to Christ and to the church, and as God has called us to minister to each other. That right, we will be held accountable for that. And it's not about salvation. And Paul talks about that. He talks about the reward, the loss from that. And so coming then off of that, we see Paul make these statements here. Let a man so consider us as servants of God. And so it seems to me, certainly, as Paul's talking about this thought of being judged, that there were those who were critical of Paul. Right? There were those, and certainly, I mean, there had to be. There was division within the church. Some were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, right? So certainly there were those that were critical of Paul. Paul doesn't say of what, right? He doesn't say here why they were critical of him or what exactly was going on. But he acknowledges, it seems that there were those who had an issue with him. And so Paul just acknowledges that and says, here, look, I accept whatever criticism you have, but look, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a slave. The word in the Greek for servant, and that's translated servant in our English Bibles, is also slave. Right? It can be either or. You can put servant or slave. And it, really the thought is slave. Right? Is someone whose will is controlled by another's, right? Someone whose will is subservient, someone who has no free will, someone who is controlled by another. And so Paul acknowledges here, look, in my relationship with Christ, he's my master. I am his slave. That's the relationship. That's how, right, in ministry, this is what this looks like. And God has called me to be a steward. So he uses this thought of certainly a slave, but then he also talks about being a steward. Now, a steward's still a slave, okay? Still a slave with responsibility. The steward would be someone who the master had found responsible, someone the master had found had the ability to do whatever. And so he would put him in an area of responsibility over other slaves or over whatever, and then he would be held accountable for however that worked out. That was a steward. Still a slave, but a slave with responsibility. And so Paul says, that is who I am. I am a steward. God has given me a certain responsibility. God has given me a certain ministry that he has called me to. And what is required of me? It is to be faithful. It's to be faithful. In that ministry that God's called me to, that is what I'm going to do. And so Paul uses, right, talks about, I'm a slave, I'm a steward. And so then he says this, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Again, I think there were those who were being critical of Paul. Certainly those who had an issue with whatever. We don't know. Paul doesn't say what it was. Maybe it was the way he ministered. Maybe it was how he related with people. We don't know. We don't know what it was. And Paul doesn't say here. And Paul doesn't say, hey, look, I'm this great apostle. You shouldn't be criticizing me. Right? Paul doesn't say that. But he just reminds him what's important. And what is important is his faithfulness. And so they could criticize him. They could judge him all they wanted. But at the end of the day, he was accountable to God for his faithfulness. And he understood that. And so he's just kind of trying to help them understand that and trying to help them remind them of that and then accept that themselves, right, that they're going to be held responsible. They also are slaves. They also are stewards. That God has given each of us ministry. We are all called to minister, right? We are all called to be faithful. And so within that understanding that, right, we're not here to try to meet other people's expectations necessarily, but we are here to be judged by Christ, right? We will be judged by Christ. And so we serve in that thought that someday I'm going to be held accountable for my faithfulness. Each of us, all of us, we are. And so Christ calls about that and he says, here, look, you can't judge my heart. You can't judge my heart. You have no idea. You have no idea. Paul says that. You can't judge who I am. You can't judge my heart. God judges those things. Only God can say that. And so he says, look, the day will come when my heart will be judged. And I will stand before the Lord and all will be opened up. Right? Paul says that here. And so certainly we see this, and I think Paul is addressing this thought within the church of Corinth, that they were puffed up, that they were arrogant, and part of their arrogance is seen in this criticism of Paul, criticism of his faithfulness within the realm of ministry, within the realm of him shepherding, within his leadership. And so he's addressing it, just reminding them, certainly here's what's important. Here's what important. What's important? And important. What's important is that I be faithful to what Christ has called me to. Here's my goal. Here's my desire. This should be yours as well. Right? This should be yours as well. And so Paul certainly was faithful to proclaim the word of God. He was faithful to love God's people, and that's what he did. And so Paul said, "I will someday be judged for that." And so we see that. Right? We see Paul addressing this thought. And then as Paul continues here, we see humility is thankful for the ministry of others. Humility is thankful for the ministry of others. Verse 6 says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did not indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had received it?" So Paul says here, right, he'd used some illustrations. He says, I had talked to you and figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos. And he'd used these illustrations that we talked about earlier, that Paul brought up earlier, of farming, right, that illustration. He had brought up the illustration of building, and that, and all of those were just this thought of being faithful. And now he brings up the illustration of being a slave, and that relationship, the master-slave relationship. And he's saying here, and he's encouraging them, "For your sake, imitate us." Right? I'm using these illustrations. It's a figurative thing. I'm trying to help you understand. And so take that, imitate me, that you not be puffed up. That you not be arrogant. That's what that word means. Puffed up means arrogant, prideful. He says that you not have that attitude, that you not be puffed up and arrogant with each other in relationship, and he's talking about relationships within the church, right? That you not have this attitude with each other within the body of Christ. Right? That not don't do that. Don't have that. And then he says these things, that don't think beyond what is written. I don't think beyond what is written. And I was like, okay, Paul, what are you talking about there? What is it that's written? And certainly I think Paul is referring there to Scripture, to God's Word, and certainly everything that they had in Christ, and everything that God's Word expounds on within the relationship with Christ and God, for sure, within that. And I think in the context here, as he's talking about their relationship with him and their relationship with spiritual leaders, he's saying, hey, don't go beyond what is written. Don't go beyond what God has said when in respect to spiritual authority in your life. Don't go beyond what God has said, one way or the other, right? There's a ditch on both sides. There is. There is the tendency that we want to place our loyalty in men. Paul had already kind of addressed that issue, or had address that issue, right? We have that tendency that we want people to think, right, I'm loyal to this person. We have that tendency. And so the Scriptures don't call us to that at all, right? The Word doesn't say we need to be loyal to our pastor or to whatever spiritual leader, right? Or to the elders, right? The Word never says that. And Paul never encouraged that at all. On the other hand, it's certainly being overcritical, right, being disrespectful, right, not acknowledging those who are placed in spiritual authority and leadership and being disrespectful of that, right? That's the other ditch, because the Scriptures do call us to being respectful for those that are in spiritual authority, right? The Word does that. And so Paul just, he's calling them to balance. He's calling them here. Look at what Scripture says in the context as you're dealing with those in spiritual leadership. Look at that. Look at that and take that. And don't go in the ditch. That's what Paul's calling. And he's calling them here to humility within that. And humility certainly is thankful for the ministry of others. It's not overcritical. It doesn't try to tear down. Right? It's encouraging. And it says, right, in humility, acknowledging those who are in spiritual authority and accepting that authority. That's humility. And so Paul is encouraging that, and he's telling them, no one, none of you are spiritually self-made. Like none of you. None. Right? God has used someone to bring you to Christ. God has used someone to speak to you. Right? God used someone in your life. And all of it, right, comes of God. Right? All of it comes from Christ, comes from His Word. And so, right, none of you, none of you have anything to boast in. Spiritually, you have no pride at all. You can't. And here's the thing about arrogance and pride is it says it's all about me. Right? That I am self-made. That I don't need anyone else. Right? And so Paul's addressing it because there were believers within that church that thought they could just do it on their own. They didn't need anyone else. And so he's saying, hey, look, no. No, look, you can't do that. You can't say spiritually that you're better than anyone else. You receive from someone else. It's not of you. It's of Christ. Right? And so whatever we have in Christ, we can't take credit for. Everything that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, our salvation, right, we can't take credit for. The maturity, the growth that happens in our lives, we can't take credit for that. Hey, at the end of the day, right, it is God that gets the glory. He's the one who gets the credit. And so Paul is calling them here to humility. He is. And he's dealing with this heart. He calls them puffed up. And he calls them to that. And so certainly within our church and as we consider, right, our own relationships within that, we consider all that we have in Christ, right? And all that we have as we relate to each other, and all that He suffered, right? All that He suffered so that we could have eternal life. All that He suffered so that we can have assurance, so that we can have joy, right? All that, right, that He went through, that's humbling. I don't know for you, but for me, that, right, it's humbling that I am dependent on someone else. And I am dependent on the suffering of Christ. For everything that I have, spiritually and physically, right? All that I have, right? It is all dependent on Him. And so we come, and Paul is going to continue here, drawing to them to this thought of humility and acknowledging and, right, identifying with our own hearts our own tendency towards arrogance. Right? And spiritual pride. And certainly it's a hard thing. It is a difficult thing to deal with. But it's good. Right? It's a good thing to deal with. This morning, we're going to be partaking of communion. And I can't think of a better way of being humble. Right? I can't think of a better way of what we need, what I need, as we come before Christ, as we consider the sacrifice that He made for us. It gets our focus off our own needs. It gets our focus off our own wants. It gets our focus off our own hurts. It gets our focus off our own desires. And it reminds us of what truly is important. And that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it reminds us of the sacrifice. And I hope this morning it is humiliating. I hope it's humiliating. It should be. That's the intent. To remind us that it's not about us. The focus isn't about us. It is what Christ has done for us. And so as we partake of the bread, we partake of the juice, the cup, we're reminded of what Christ felt, the pain, the suffering, the agony, because He loves you. Right? Because He loves you. And everything that you have in Christ, everything that you have that's been promised, is because of the pain and the suffering that Christ went through. Let's take a few moments. I just want to take a few moments. Let's just bow our heads before the Lord. Consider our own hearts. Consider our own desires. And just refocus and think about and consecrate our hearts and our lives to Him as we prepare to partake of communion. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, we humble ourselves. We acknowledge we need You. We need You in our lives. We need the forgiveness that You freely offer us. And so this morning as we partake, I pray that we would do so humbly, and I pray that we would do so with great gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I'd ask the men to come forward.